Okay, welcome back to Rising Star Festival. We're very pleased to have the chance to talk with the keyboardist and musician Steve Griffiths. Steve, welcome to Rising Star Festival.
Hello, Tim, and thank you for having me on. Great pleasure to be with you today, mate. Great pleasure.
Excellent. Well, Steve, you've played in many bands over the years, as well as solo projects. Well, take us back to the early days and your introduction to playing keyboards and being in bands.
Well, to be honest, it goes back to when I was 9 years old. And,
wow.
Well, the story goes that my father, good, hard-working class, you know, good hard-working man, wanted better for his son. So, and to be honest, it was the late 70s, and my father so wanted to be middle class. And if you were middle class in the late 70s, you didn't have piano lessons, you had electric organ lessons. So my father wanted to be middle class, and I got the electric organ lessons, which, to be honest, I was reluctant about to start with. And it took a year of having lessons, and then that's when it clicked. It clicked. And I'll tell you how it clicked. You'd be surprised at this one. My father bought me, I was learning all the stuff that the teachers were giving me and everything, and it was all pretty boring stuff, to be honest with you, as it is when you're learning, you know, you don't get to try the hard stuff and the interesting stuff. But my father bought me a book of ABBA songs. Now, I was, a medium-sized ABBA fan. I'd watched them win the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974. So, I like ABBA. And it was learning those songs. It was learning those Benny Anderson keyboard lines. That's what did it for me. That was what showed me what was possible on keyboards and with keyboard playing. And that was like, right, okay, I'm into this now, That was the moment. It's like, right, it's clicking, let's move forward. And to be honest, my next big keyboarding hero is one that's probably more likely you'd think of me, and that's John Lord, Deep Purple keyboardist.
Deep Purple. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was the man. Nobody rocked a keyboard like John Lord. Nobody did. And so hearing what he did, that was it. That was the start. So time gets on, good keyboard player. I played in a couple of working men's clubs, under duress from my father. He said, oh, go and play here for the evening. And, I was 11, 12 years old at the time. But it was experience. It was in at the deep end. So that by the time I got to 16 and was playing my first gigs with a band in a pub, I was more experienced than the rest of the band that had invited me to play. And that band was the Unlimited Dream Company. So who we both have mutual friends in. So that was the first time. It was the first proper gig with a band was Unlimited Dream Company, Coach House, Swansea. And that was standing in for a certain Mr. Mark Holberson, who was playing keyboards with them at the time and was on holiday. And I got the invite to do it. And that was
you
it.
Jumped
that
to the chance.
That was the start. And then I realized that Mark was a far better guitarist than he was keyboardist and was wasted in the Unlimited Dream Company. So I nicked him and formed Exert, which was my first real band, that I was, a founding member of. So and that was the start of it, really. Band, 16, 17, and you learn to drive and you realize, you get invites. And the thing was, being a keyboardist, I realized that actually there's quite a bit of work out there for good keyboardists. And certainly back in the day, there weren't that many around, certainly in Swansea, keyboardists that were available to play in bands. Yeah, there was about three or four of us. So, and there was plenty of bands to go around in Swansea. There was a thriving music scene at the time. And, very much it started, it did get silly. I mean, I was at one point, I think I was playing in six bands at the same time. In fact, I I can remember a certain gig at Hendrick Voiland Bar. It was a beer festival, and there were seven bands playing, and I played in six of the seven bands that day. So I think you played in about three or four of them, actually, didn't you? So, yes, I think we should actually, Tim, just for the benefit of the listeners, say that our history does go back all the way back to those days in Swansea. So we've known each other well over 30 years. So I think we should put that on the record for the listeners out there. So and that was it. So, you know, teenager, early 20s, and, you know, I played in all sorts of bands. I played in a cabaret band called Central Park. Actually, the female vocalist of that band was a girl called Helen Williams, who went on to win Opportunity Knox a couple of years later. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, and, you know, played with all sorts of fascinating musicians in my early years, and eventually you get invited to play cover bands, did all of that. And one of the more interesting ones really was a band called Asherman, dub reggae band. So and that, joining that was definitely an eye-opener. And then, you know, so 6 or 7 years of Asherman. And during that time as well, I formed the Green Inspiration Band with Your Good Self. So, and that was the one that, 30-odd years later, technically, we are still a band, I think, but just lacking a drummer at the moment. But, that was it, really. I mean, you know, there you have a potted history of my playing in bands. And to be honest, it was when I left Swansea in my late 20s. That was when sort of the music died down a little bit for me, and I had to get serious and get a proper job and, you know, pay the bills and what have you. So, over the years, I hadn't been sort of letting it lie. And certainly in the last 6 or 7, 8 years, music's very much come back alive in my life, and very, very much. There was a good reason for that, actually. It was making the acquaintance of a certain Mr. Alan Davey, former Hawkwind bass player, and it was buying one of his keyboards, you know, that he'd used in Hawkwind for many years, and that was the boot up the proverbial backside that I needed to get my sort of musical path back on, you know, a more productive level. So, and that was the inspiration for the Laser Variations solo album of, 2018 now? Ooh, it's about time I got another solo album together, isn't it? But, that was definitely a bit of a boot up the backside. You know, come on, life's getting on. If you want to get all this music down for people to listen to, you better get onto it. So, it's over the last few years, it's got a little bit busy. And in the last couple of years, 3 years, doing a lot of collaborating with James Hollingsworth, singer-songwriter from down your way in the West Country. And hopefully the fruits of that hard labour with him will be released early next year. So that's where we're standing at the moment. So, all good things, all good things.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to hear one of the first tracks that has been pre-mastered, I guess you'd say, Lost in the Winds of Time, with James Hollingsworth. And really excellent track. I hear you've got another 8 to go on this quite progressive album. So really looking forward to hearing some more of that. Just to take you back again to those early days, you said there's such a crossover of musicians, and I was lucky enough to stumble into that group, you know, and played in several bands with yourself. You mentioned Asherman. There was also the Right Honourables with Pete Aspel on guitar, and just to mention their drummer Brian Russell passed away sadly recently. Fantastic group of musicians. What was your keyboard setup at the time? You've always had an interest in synthesizers. What kind of setup did you take around?
Well, I started off, my first synthesizer was a Korg Delta. And that would have been when I was 16 years old, I got that. And then quickly afterwards, I added a Korg Poly 800. Yeah, the historic Sims. Now, to be fair, the Poly 800, that died, as most of those Poly 800s did not long after. But I was an early adopter of Korg. But to be honest, I moved rather swiftly to Roland after I played the Roland D50. And
I believe you were one of the first people in the UK to play one of those.
Actually, I was one of the first people to play the D70.
Okay.
the D50, yeah, that had been... When I came across that, that had already been released a few months. But the D70, I'll come on to the D70 in a second. But the D50, that was my, I played the D50, and then I was a Roland fan from then on. The keyboard action and the sounds and everything, it was just me. It was just perfect. So I sort of scraped together the money, not exactly well off at the time. So scraped together the money I think it cost me £800 at the time, which, it's a fair amount of money back in 89, I think it was. I picked it up. But a D70, yeah. Living in Swansea, they had the Roland Centre in Swansea now. It's just offices now, but in the old days, they used to have a big... a place where you could go and try out all the keyboards and what have you. And I turned up there one Saturday, and this Roland D70, the first one in the country, had literally been delivered to them an hour earlier. So I was literally, apart from the store, we were all over it. I was the first one to play it. And if I'd have had the money, I would have walked out with it as well. So I did eventually get a D70 many years later, but that has unfortunately died recently as well. So my D50 is still going. That Roland D50 that I bought in 1989, that is still my main weapon of attack. When it comes to live keyboards, I'm still using it for live work, studio work, and everything. So what's that? 34 years. That seems to be with me. So. It has a little service now and again, but to be honest, it's been pretty much faultless. So I put it through hell. I don't take it lightly when I play gigs live. I play the keyboard I leave nothing behind. Yeah, so it was a Roland D70, and that really was. It was a Roland D70, and managed to get hold of an old Roland Juno 6, which I think I bought for £100 off Foggy. that Roland Juno 6 and that Roland D50, that was my main, those are the keyboards that I used live all the way through the Asherman years and the Green Inspiration Band years. So if you listen to any of the recordings that are widely available from those times, those are the main two keyboards. There's probably a Korg Poly 61 in there for about 6 months or 6 weeks before I realised that I'd been had on that one. And to be honest, it's ever since that I've had, it's just occasionally picking up an old one, say, I picked up a Korg M1 a few years ago. It was going, okay. It was literally
a workstation.
Yeah, £200. I mean... And I bought it, and then I realised why back in the day I bought the D50 rather than the M1. So it was very much, I'm glad I went with Roland in the end. But saying that, I've had Alan Davis Korg Wave Station now for about 5 years. And that is, I have to admit, that is a blooming good synth, And of course...
Wow.
He's programmed it to within an inch of its life.
Was that used on Laser Variations?
Well, that was it. That was the inspiration. That was buying that synth of him was the inspiration for doing the Laser Variations album. And I mean, at the time, I was lucky. I had, you know, I'd space in the house to set up my, you know, the whole rig, you know, which was at the time five keyboards. You know, it was a D50, a D70, a Juno 6, and the two Korgs, the WaveStation and the M1. And that, so I had it all that, and it all going through a mixing desk. So that was how I did it. You know, I set up some lights, and you know, I've got those bits of lasers here and there. So that's why I did. I did all the live versions, which are available on YouTube. Basically, most of those are you know, literally sort of recording it after the evening of working out what I was doing. So most of those are pretty, you know, fresh versions of the songs, like.
That sounds like a good time for a plug for your channel. You just renamed it.
Yes, you can find it nice and easy now. Steve Griffiths, Keyboards Official.
Fantastic on
Yeah, so.
YouTube, so people can hear many, or if not all of the tracks from Laser's Variations, as well as other solo projects.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff on there. The first one that you'll come across, if you dive into my channel, is obviously a 27-minute version of Cosmetropolis, which I plan to do a studio, you know, a proper studio take of sometime early next year as part of what will hopefully be, that will hopefully be the title track of my next solo album.
Awesome.
So that's moving forward. Obviously, we've got what else is on there? There's a lot of the old Green Inspiration Band stuff on there as well. So, there's some live Green stuff on there, which is worth checking out. It's always good to remind yourself of your humble past and remind yourself that you're not the ace musician that you always thought you were. It's like, yeah, I spotted that mistake there, you know. So, that's all available. Steve Griffiths, Keyboards Official, and if you type that into YouTube, you'll go direct to my chat channel. I think the official Laser Variations, all the official versions of the tracks are on a slightly separate channel. But if you go to my channel, you'll get a link to it in any case, and it's easy to find. Just put in Laser Variations. Laser spell LASER, proper English spelling. None of this American claptrap Z's and whatever Z's. So Laser Variations. Stick that into YouTube, and you'll find the album. It's available on Spotify and all the other music streaming services, as is Green Inspiration Band Forward into Beyond album as well.
Which
So, yeah.
incidentally, you were the person nominated in the band to mix at the mastering session in Black Mountain Studios.
Yeah, I regret that decision now. I reckon Sam could have probably done a better job than me.
Well, speaking of going back into studios as well, obviously you've got this longer term collaboration with James Hollingsworth. And both of you, I myself really appreciate all of your involvement here at Rising Star Festival. We've played some of your tracks from Laser Variations mainly at the songwriting and how would you call it, the highlights of the festival year. But definitely looking forward to more musical news from yourself and from James. So how long has it taken to work collaboratively with James, considering you're not in the same town exactly? So
We're definitely not in the same town. I'm in Norfolk, and he's in Somerset, which is a fair old distance. And also, I work full time, and I mean full time. So that's the way it is. You've got to pay the bills these days, and I'm paying the bills, and music is it's coming second. But hopefully, we can move music back into first place with this collaboration. That would be the wonderful outcome. But I think the first keyboard line I put down on this album was in 2016. James was
Right.
telling me. So and to be honest, for a while we weren't doing much. it's only really since 2019 that we've been sort of getting it together, and I've been sort of going down to Frome, and I can't remember how it's pronounced, but heading down there and spending a few days here and there, and so almost a year now, all my keyboards have been done. But what I have done is left James with an awful lot of work to do on top of it. So, yeah, it's...
When you say heading down there, how much of your synthesizer setup are you actually taking? Do you need to take your lorry down there?
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I normally take... two or three synthesizers down with me. So, and obviously, I'm plugging into his setup down there. So I don't need to be taking my own mixing desk or, anything like that, or an amp or anything. So it's just a case of a couple of keyboards and a keyboard stand, really. So the last few times I've been getting away with taking my car down. So, and if you see my most recent car, it's not exactly, hasn't got the biggest boot. Like, it wasn't built for practicality, let's put it that way. So, I'll be really enjoying going down there. It's been nice to sort of get away, go down to see James, and go down and you just spend three or four days just, like we used to, just sort of, sort of waking up, eating, sleeping, breathing music, and we all love the times that we could do that. And I remember you talking about Black Mountain Studios, those 6 days, 7 days there, that's some of the happiest memories of my life, definitely. And I think you probably would feel the same as well, I should imagine.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, James is a really awesome musician, as yourself. I think it's a great combination. We're going to play Lost in the Winds of Time when it's fully mastered. I've had a sneak preview, but it's really sounding on the money. If the rest of the tracks turn out anything like that, it's just going to be awesome.
The tracks vary, there's sort of more upbeat ones, there's slower, gentler stuff, it's progressive, it's definitely prog. Is it folk rock? I mean, James definitely comes from the folk end of things, really, and I come from the heavier rock end of things, so it's melded in the middle. I've calmed down and sort of chilled out in certain aspects of it and certain playing, but I've also sort of dragged James kicking and screaming into the you can rock this up a bit and it's going to sound excellent kind of thing. So
I hear that he was using a certain guitar on one of the tracks.
I thought, how am I going to get James to, because obviously, he's playing acoustic guitar. Yeah, he can make that acoustic guitar sound electric, and he's got all the pedals to do it and what have you. But I thought, I'll lend him my SG, and not a Gibson SG, I'm not that rich. It's an SG copy, but it's a very nice copy. I lent him my SG, and I thought, that's it. It got just totally taken with the idea now. Oh, right, okay. Rock guitar, distortion. I like this, actually. So I'm dragging him slowly towards the dark side. I've definitely taken him out of his comfort zone, but taking him out of his comfort zone, I have left him with an awful lot of work, so I do appreciate that it is taking time. So, the idea was it was meant to be coming out January just gone. And I know we have sort of a January next year kind of date on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it moves back a couple of months yet again. So, because there was such a lot of work that he's got to do on it, and obviously I can't get down there, although I'm off down there at the start of October for a few days just to sort of do a few bits and do a bit of filming for for the videos and all that sort of thing. So but it's a lot of work, and I do appreciate that. You know, James is a busy gigging musician. You know, he's got to make a living and what have you.
He is a busy man, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he can't be work full time on it. So it's fitting everything in when we can, and you know, we are almost there. But you know, it's down to James, you know, being happy with what he's done over the top of what, you know, those keyboard lines that I've already put down. So, you've heard Lost in the Winter Time, and you know, that's almost like a little sea shanty in certain respects, although quite a rocky sea shanty. But it's a concept album as well. There's a story running through, you know, the whole thing, you know, and I've been responsible for a lot of the music on it, but I've also been responsible for a lot of the lyrics. James, I got to be honest, I went into this thinking, oh, well, James will write all the lyrics, and he was having none of it. He was insistent that, you know, yeah, you're coming in, you're writing half the lyrics. So, I didn't mind actually. I sat down and sort of, you know, it's in a little session with James, and when I sit down and start writing lyrics, I can knock them out quite easily. It's not hard for me to write lyrics. They do come out. It's just I never actually sit down and apply myself to actually doing it. You know, it really is just, you know, okay, go on, I'll sit down. And for the final track, which I told you the name of, I think James was writing lyrics for another track and saying, oh, we've got to do the lyrics for the final track. And by the time he'd finished the lyrics for the other track, I'd finished the lyrics for the final track. You know, that was it. Just that. Is that what you're after? Yep, that's what I'm after. Brilliant. So, you know, I write the lyrics, and I assume James is going to change them slightly so that it's easier to sing. But I've certainly put my two pennies worth in lyric wise as well. So the album has a narrative. It has a storyline all the way through. It's prog. It's full on a prog concept album.
I can't wait.
I can't wait for it to be finished. I want to hear the whole thing as well. So I've actually got a CD of the whole album, but all it is the keyboards, like hardly anything else on top. And it's like, you know, I'll play that. It's like, oh, I want to hear the rest of it. So I'm itching to hear it just as much as you are, Tim. So soon, hopefully.
I mean, you've always been writing right from the early days, like you mentioned, with bands like Excerpt, the Green Inspiration Band, Asherman. In fact, I heard you, I was lucky enough to be playing bass at the time with you on the stage at the Heineken Beer Festival when you actually sang with fronting, I think it was Freak Show was the track. Really, really good. Playing keyboards as well live, so that was good. But how do you feel that your recent collaborations are framing your solo project? You mentioned you've got a second solo album in the wings.
I've had another invite for a project that I can't talk about here. So. That's another boot up the backside for me to get my home recording situation sorted. So before Christmas now, bit of investment, getting that all up and running. That was a requirement for doing the next solo album. In any case, for getting my home situation and my home studio back up and running properly. But now I've got to do that any case for this other project that's happening next year. That's the impetus of that. Right, well, if I've got to do it for that, that will give me the impetus to sort of, you know, go out and actually do the second solo album. You know, a lot of the material I already have for it. But that was the other thing, collaborating with James, some of the material that I had for the solo album, I've used on the album with James. So, yeah, need to sit down and do a little bit more writing as well. But hopefully, maybe with another, I can see the purchase of a more up-to-date keyboard, and then maybe that will influence the way the writing goes for the next album. I think I've mentioned before that maybe a Roland JX hybrid might be on the horizon very shortly. Mm. So
this is the almost, let me think, the Juno first came out in the late 70s, I believe. So it's a very modern take on that. And so, quick question then, Steve, what would that bring your total of keyboards to?
Right, working keyboards, that would bring it back up to 5. Because okay. It was on 5, but my D70, I bought a secondhand D70, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And what I didn't know when I bought it was, at some stage in its history, it had beer or something, and it had all gone down. And basically what happened, the board underneath the keyboard, all the contact board and everything, corroded away. So massive. So basically unfixable. So I carried on using it, you know, notes, the banks of notes would go dead, and I just use it, you know, as a hold pad. So that, you know, hold a, you know, an A chord or something on it, and you know, just use that as a pad, as an underpinning for other stuff that was on top. But that finally, none of the notes on the D70 work anymore. So I haven't got rid of it yet, because I was thinking, oh, hang on a second though, it's MIDI.
You can use it as a in the data chain, as it were. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that reminds me, I've got to order a couple of MIDI leads. You just reminded me of that, Tim. Thank you very much. So all hope is not lost for the D70. I'm thinking that I can definitely MIDI it through the D50. So there's a way of, you know, having it so that I can mix sounds, and so all is not lost with that D70. So it might reappear. It's just it will never actually be played as a keyboard. So
the idea for the Juno X, the hybrid, obviously a very modern, brand new synth, that would be great for studio, but also in theory then for live, you've got a dependable keyboard.
Well, this is it. There is an issue about going around and using 30-year-old keyboards to play live.
I remember tuning up with the band many years ago when certain keyboards were oscillating and wavering all over the place.
Yes, exactly. That Korg Poly 61 bin, as I remember that one now, I don't think I ever got that quite in tune. So, and as a keyboard, it's meant to be in tune, but that's the other thing. It's having a live keyboard that is, if everything else fails, you know, that will be reliable, kind of thing. So, That's the idea, you know. It's the thing about using 30-year-old keyboards live. It's always a worry. You get through a gig and you think, is it going to work? Please work, please. You know, you almost say a prayer to the music, them up there. So it's like, oh no. But exactly. So a bit of investment, new recording set up, new keyboard, and mixed with all the old keyboards, I hopefully will come up with a cracker of a solo album next year. That's the plan. So that's what we're looking for. Album with James coming out next year, and hopefully I get the solo album recorded early in the year, and then I can get it out sometime during the summer. That's the plan. That's where we're looking at the moment.
Sounds like a really excellent plan. Well, Steve, thanks ever so much for your time and your contributions to Rising Star Festival, and obviously best luck with all your solo projects and the collaborations. We're going to play some of your music definitely in the future as well, looking forward to all the new stuff. Before now, some of your tracks from Laser Variations appeared, as I mentioned, on the highlights show here at Rising Star Festival. But from all of us here, best of luck, and thank you so much, Steve Griffiths.
I hopefully see you in the new year. Maybe we can arrange something live for next year for the Rising Star Festival. Happy to come down and do something. Definitely.
That would be awesome.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Tim. Pleasure speaking with you.
And yourself. Nice one.